Govinda Dinabandhu Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishabhanu Siddha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Vipasindubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedwaiti Gadadhar Shivastri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
That was verse 2 by the way. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila chapter 9 Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy places. We already read verse 2 in Bengal. That was Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So I'll just read the translation now. All glories to Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Shri Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to the devotees of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text number 3. Dakshinagamana Prabhura Ati Vilakshana Sahasra Sahasra Tirtha Kaila Darshana Darshana Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India was certainly very extraordinary because he visited many thousands of places of pilgrimage there. Say Sabha. Is there anything?
Four.
Four.
Four
is on
here?
Say
Sava
Kirta Sparshi Maha Kirta Kaila. Is it pronounced Kaila? Kaila. Like an O.
Yes,
Kaila. So it's a diphthong. K A I is a diphthong. Koi. Koila. They're both like an O. Koila. Koilo.
Koilo.
So that's say.
Shay.
Shay. Shay. Chile.
Chile.
Shay.
Shay.
Deshera.
Deshera.
Loka.
Loka.
Nistarila.
Nistarila.
Kesava Tirtha Sparshi Mahatirtha Koila.
Kesava Tirtha Sparshi Mahatirtha Koila.
She Chaile She Deshere Loka Nishtarila.
She Chaile She Deshere Loka Nishtarila.
She Shava Tirtha Sparshi Mahatirtha Koila.
She Shava Tirtha Sparshi Mahatirtha Koila.
Se chale se de shera loka nishtarila.
Se chale se de shera loka nishtarila.
Se sava tirtha sparshi mahatirtha koila.
Se sava tirtha sparshi mahatirtha koila.
Se chale se de shera loka nishtarila.
Se chale se de shera loka nishtarila.
Shava Tirtha Sparshi
Mahatirtha Koila.
Shava
Tirtha Sparshi
Mahatirtha Koila. Se Chale Se Deshare Loka Nishtarila.
Se
When the Lord visited all those holy places, He converted many thousands of residents. Thus many people were delivered. Simply by touching the holy places, He made them into great places of pilgrimage. Prabhupada said, Tirthi Kuravanti Tirthani, a tirtha or holy place, is a place where great saintly personalities visit or reside. Although the holy places were already places of pilgrimage, they were all purified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit. Many people go to those holy places and leave their sinful activities there, thus becoming free from contamination. When these contaminations pile up, they are counteracted by the visit of great personalities like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his strict followers. Many kinds of patients come to a hospital which may be infected by many types of disease. Actually, the hospital is always infected, but the expert physician keeps the hospital sterilized by his expert presence and management. Still, places of pilgrimage are always affected by the sins left by the sinners who go there. But when a personality like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits such a place, all contaminations vanish. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Purushai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pranamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyate Siddhar. Quoted here is a famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam where Yudhisthira Maharaj greets Maharaj Vidura after coming back from pilgrimage. It's found in the first canto. Maharaj Yudhisthira greets him with the words Vida, Vida, Vida Bhavad Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirthi Koravanti Tirthani Swantak Stena Gata Vrataha. He says that saints like yourself are verily places of pilgrimage. He wasn't just complimenting Vidura. Generally we, out of sentiment or out of joking, we sometimes compliment one each other. But he was actually sincerely meaning that tirtha kuravanti tirthani. Kuravanti means to make into a tirtha. Tirthani, all the places of tirtha are made into places of tirtha by the persons gadabrija. Brita, Gada Brita, those who carry Krishna within the heart. The actual person that makes everything into a tirtha is Krishna, because Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental ecstasy. He's the source of all internal potency. Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Krishna devotee means one who carries Krishna within the heart. Krishna carries the devotee within the heart, and the devotee carries Krishna within the heart. But Krishna carrying the devotee in the heart, he principally carries Srimati Radharani, the internal potency, which makes him more ecstatic. But generally speaking, for a jiva soul to carry Krishna, carrying Krishna means to carry not only just the form of Krishna, but all of Vrindavan. The name, form, quality, pastimes, the associates, everything about Krishna is carried by Krishna. It is carried by the devotee of Krishna within the heart. There is no difference between Krishna's name, his form, his quality, and his pastimes. Although, it's progressive. To only understand Krishna's name doesn't mean that one necessarily is fully understanding Krishna's form. Nor if one understands Krishna's form, does that mean one understands Krishna's qualities. Nor by understanding Krishna's qualities, will one necessarily understand Krishna's associates or his pastimes. But if one understands in truth, tatvataha, tat means that in Sanskrit, and va means has the idea that is right before you. Something you can point out is of a quality, of a certain nature. So that nature which is right before you is called tattva. Tattva doesn't mean simply some theoretical understanding of what reality is, although we don't experience it ourselves. No, tattva means that we have direct experience. And when one has direct experience, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam, of what? Divya, of the divine quality of Krishna. We were reading the other day in the Namamrita that sometimes the devotees, they don't use their tongue and their lips to chant the holy name. So some kind of hissing sound comes out. As you've heard before, shnik, 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 ram, 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 de, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. So this kind of hissing sound sometimes comes out. And we were thinking we're chanting the holy name. Unless you consider your cat holy. Hey kitty, hey kitty, kitty, hey kitty. So your little kit may come and give you some service to do, but Krishna won't be there. So for Krishna to actually be right there, so that we're directly perceiving it, there has to be a quality to the chanting. And the quality of the chanting, we've been told, is that we have to chant attentively, which is certainly true, but there's two qualities to the chanting. Krishna always makes two. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupyantite. This is the consistent philosophy that we find practicing all the instructions. It has to be consistent, in other words, undeviated, as Krishna says, Savai Pum Sopro Dharmo Yato Bhaktiya Hokshade Ahaitukya Prati Atayatma Supersedati. The devotional service has to be unmotivated. As soon as there's some motivation, there's going to be some deviation, some obstacle. Because that's the nature of the material world. Maya has been set up. As soon as we have some other motivation other than to please Krishna, the Maya takes away our intelligence. Dhyayato Vishyam Pumsam Sangasteshu Pajayate. It may be taken away to different degrees, and therefore sometimes people, although they're not actually in Krishna consciousness, they believe they are. That's the nature of Maya. One can be fully convinced that I'm fully in Krishna consciousness and be as far away from Krishna consciousness as everyone else. But undeviated and unmotivated. Unmotivated means it should be done out of love. Undeviated. Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki is corresponding with pratipurvakam. That the actual motive is simply to love Krishna. If we love Krishna, then everything is attained. Because Krishna already loves us. He can't manifest his, we can't experience his love for us because we don't manifest our love for him. But when we experience Krishna's love for us, then we become overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. And as the soul becomes overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, then everything else follows. The mind, the body, everything becomes overwhelmed with that feeling. The anubhavas, or the satrikabhavas specifically, they're manifestations of that ecstasy. When the absorption of the mind is in Krishna, then the mind, because it's absorbed in Krishna, the life air is in the body, because there's a connection between the mind and the life airs. They become disturbed. And as the different life airs in the body become disturbed, they disturb the different elements in the body. And therefore is manifested the different types of transcendental ecstasy. Like, for instance, when the air element is disturbed, there may be shivering in the body. When the water element is disturbed, tears flow from the eyes. When the fire element is disturbed, perspiration flows from the body. It is not that it's artificial, it comes spontaneously because of the absorption in Krishna consciousness. Then automatically there's a reaction also on the gross and subtle platforms in the material body. And that absorption in Krishna consciousness means a change of attitude by the soul. It is not simply a mechanical following of the process. It is an actual conviction or an actual surrender to Krishna with the belief that everything I have is yours. Sharanagati. Then Krishna reveals himself to the devotee, because as the devotee gives himself to Krishna, then Krishna gives himself proportionally to the devotee. And if the devotee completely surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna is right before the devotee. So the devotee is actually directly perceiving Krishna, and not only the devotee perceive Krishna, but everyone else who's not offensive will also perceive Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he impressed many persons because when he would come by, those who were not offensive, who were receptive, they experience a whole change of atmosphere. They'd enter into a Vaikuntha bubble, so to speak. And entering into that Vaikuntha bubble, they didn't need so much philosophy. They just wanted to find out how to stay in that Vaikuntha bubble. And that was the philosophy. How can one enter into the same Vaikuntha bubble that Prabhupada was walking around in, and how to stay in it? That's called a haitukiya pratiyata. Or priti purvaka, vidani buddhiyogamta, yenamam upiyantite. That's the intelligence that Krishna can give one, if one is actually interested in undeviated, unmotivated devotional service, or devotional service performed with priti purvaka, consistent and enthusiastic, with affection for Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Radha and Krishna, because that's who he is Radha and Krishna, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, he is Radha and Krishna combined, but in a way that Krishna is feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. So within himself are all the pastimes of Krishna, but in an intense mood of separation. All the pastimes are there, but in Mahabhava, separation. There's different types of technical names for the different types of separation, but out of there's Vipralamba Seva and Samboga, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically always manifesting Vipralamba Seva in the mood of Adi Ruda and Ruda Mahabhava. Specifically Adi Ruda Mahabhava, the topmost feelings of separation. So all of Krishna's pastimes, everything to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mood of separation, remembering all the pastimes of Krishna. When he saw Govardhan Hill, he'd run towards Govardhan Hill. Actually, he didn't see Govardhan. When he saw the Chatvika Parvata at the sand dunes in Jagannath Puri, for him it was Govardhan Hill, and he'd run towards Govardhan Hill, and he'd be in Vrindavan. He was always in Vrindavan. But his intense feelings of separation from Vrindavan manifested Vrindavan in such a way is that even ordinary persons, even Mohammedans, even meat eaters, they entered into Vrindavan just by associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's because Vrindavan was there. Similarly, we can also bring Vrindavan. That's the way we spread the Sankirtan movement. There is no material methodology of actually spreading the Sankirtan movement. We can try and spread it by some material means, but actually what we'll be spreading is simply something material. We can get everyone to shave up and put on dhotis. We can get everyone to even do different devotional activities. But if the consciousness is not in Krishna consciousness, then we haven't really spread Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means to always feel the separation, in this age especially, to always feel the separation from Krishna's service in Vrindavan. Not only from Krishna, but Krishna's service in Vrindavan. Without Krishna's service, there is no Vrindavan. Vrindavan means service to Krishna. Without Krishna, then we're in the material world. Without service to Krishna, then we're in the material world. It's not that Krishna is not here, he's everywhere. Just like electricity is everywhere. It may be all pervasive, but you need the proper light bulb to manifest it. So, Vrindavan may be everywhere, but the devotee, he manifests Vrindavan even in this world. And he teaches one how to also become conscious of Vrindavan, beginning with the process of hearing. It may sound very easy just to hear, but it's actually very difficult to hear. That's why there's a whole science of learning how to hear. People don't necessarily understand what that science is. Matter of fact, modern society has created a science so we can hear. The modern society is made in such a way is that you learn how to not hear anything spiritual, how to only hear things material. How to only hear about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It is not that people are not hearing, but they can't hear anything spiritual because their motive, the society has convinced them that there is no such thing as anything spiritual. There's no possibility of experiencing anything higher than sense gratification in this world. And therefore, anyone who tries for anything else is a fool, just wasting their time. And they've made a science, a so-called science out of it. Logic, reasoning, motivation, rewards, everything simply centered around don't hear about any, don't waste your time in this religious nonsense. That simply absorb your consciousness in making money. And then with that money, spend it liberally, freely, and enjoy your senses. They take something insignificant that even the animals, they get it. Just like the animals, they don't have to work very hard compared to the human beings. We don't find, if you walk around here, you'll find the cows are very peacefully grazing. Although they're going to be slaughtered, they're more peaceful than most of the people around them. They're peacefully grazing on the ground, eating all day long. They're getting their food, they're not even working for it. You don't find that the animals, they have to go to school for so many years to eat. But after going to school for so many years, people are in anxiety whether they're going to get a job in order to eat. They're in anxiety whether they're going to be able to sleep or have sex life or defend themselves. But the animals, they may be in some anxiety because they're suffering due to their sinful activities. But they're not as much anxiety as a human being is. So the difference is that the human being has some opportunity to hear. And by hearing properly from the right source, Krishna can actually enter into one's heart. And when Krishna enters into one's heart, then one will feel, experience directly Krishna. But there's no very little opportunity for the animals. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went through the Jarikanda forest, and Krishna did enter into the hearts of even the animals there, and they became ecstatic. They became aware of Krishna, and they began to dance and chant in ecstasy. Even the lions and tigers and the deer, they're embracing and kissing each other and crying in ecstasy. And if the animals can do it, we can do it too. It just takes some faith. Faith that we're Krishna's servants, and that we're not simply servants of the senses and the mind. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the ecstatic love for Krishna, and he preached that philosophy. It was delivered to Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, and we're also Rūpanugas. So we're also hearing that same philosophy that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī heard, and we're learning how to hear. The Veda culture is actually meant to help people to hear. The whole culture is so that people hear from authorities. And if they hear from the right authority in the right way, then at once there's a result according to what's one's aspiration. This specifically is the topmost result, the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. So that's quite amazing. That, what is that word? Virabhas Zing Vekan. Virabhas and Vekan. It's quite amazing that anyone can go back to the spiritual world just by hearing. When I first came to the movement, I was doing hatha yoga, and I saw the devotees chanting. I thought, oh, that's nice, but what can you accomplish just by chanting? You have to do something practical. But the culture is that, as it says in the Bhagavatam, that no one can hear with rapt attention unless the mind is controlled. And no one's mind can be controlled unless the senses are controlled. And no one's senses can be controlled unless one is regulated in one's habits of eating, sleeping, etc. In other words, unless one engages his energies in the service of Krishna, then there's no question the senses becoming purified. And no one will engage their senses in the service of Krishna unless one has faith in Krishna. But no one will have faith in Krishna unless they can hear about Krishna. But no one can hear about Krishna unless their mind and senses are controlled to begin with. And no one's senses can be controlled unless they give up the tendency to want to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. The senses, the mind, the are just pushing us in so many directions towards sense gratification all the time, gross and subtle. So how do we hear? Well, it's just by our desiring to hear. When we hear this, that we're being pushed by material nature, then we start realizing, yes, material nature is pushing me, and it's not very good to be pushed by material nature. Then we make some determination, some desire, I don't want to be pushed by material nature, I want to be pushed by Krishna. And by Krishna's representatives. Then the result is that Krishna is in our heart. He realizes, he experiences our desire, just like one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it, and he purifies us. Simply by desiring like that, one gets a little purification. And then one is able to hear a little bit more about the philosophy. Then when we hear a little bit more about the philosophy, we may like it. We may not like it. Wait a second, that's not what I wanted to hear. Then we stop at that point. We wanted to make a little progress, but then we found out what it was really all about. We decided that, no, better I be in Maya. Cover me, please, Krishna, please, cover me, quick. Or we may be sincere enough, and we say, yes, I agree, I'll engage my senses and mind in your service. A little bit more, and as one engages the senses, mind, and Krishna's service a little bit more, then that is called surrender. And when Krishna sees that surrender, then the result is permanent. Then instead of just theoretical, a little purification, then there's a lot more purification. And we become, Krishna can reveal himself to us, his form, his quality, his pastimes. We become ecstatic, and then we think, oh, maybe I should get a little bit more of that. But there's a price. We have to give up. We have to hear a little bit more. And that hearing a little bit more means we have to hear from someone. The material world means we don't really want to hear from anyone except how to become God. How to become the Lord and enjoy our material nature. We'll tolerate hearing from someone else how to do it. Because actually we don't really want to hear from anyone. We'd rather it all be revealed to our within our heart how to become God here. But it doesn't get revealed so easily. Therefore we have to go to school, we have to read books, how to become God. And we tolerate the so-called higher personalities, all with the opportunity that one day I'll become greater than this person and I'll drag him down. They had this game we used to play, something about top of the mountain. You know what that is? Someone would stand on the top of something and challenge everyone to drag them down. There would be a big fight to try king of the mountain or something. Try and drag the person down. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking with Bhavananda Prabhu, and he was helping up a hill. I think it was in New Vrindavan. He was holding Prabhupada's hand and helping up the hill. As soon as he got up the hill, Prabhupada took Bhavananda's hand and threw it aside. He said, "Now I don't need you anymore. Go away." Bhavananda was shocked. And Prabhupada said, "That's Mayavadi philosophy. The guru helps you up, and as soon as you get up there, then you kill the guru, throw him away because you don't need him anymore. Or you worship the deity, you get the result, you take the deity and throw him in the ocean. Because you don't need him anymore." That material world means my mighty philosophy. They're worshiping these rock stars, they're worshiping the movie stars, they're worshiping the athletes, but the idea is that one day they'll become better than they are and they'll kick them away. They'll defeat them all. They'll be better than everyone. So that's material consciousness. But devotional service has to be different. We have to enter into the mood of service. So for that, we have to serve persons. We may be very good at serving dead things, but that won't get us very far. We may be able to organize everything very nicely, all the papers very neat, everything very clean, but unless we're pleasing someone, we won't get anywhere. And Krishna says, if you love me, then you have to love my devotee. Because Krishna doesn't generally talk to the persons who are non-devotees in this world, he talks through his devotees. But generally speaking, no one wants to hear from anyone what to speak of a devotee. If you were handing out books that tell you in 3 months you can become God, people will take an interest. Generally it's not so gross. People haven't gotten it. Generally it's in 3 months become a billionaire. The person who's writing it, he may be rich, or he may have gotten rich by writing such books. But the idea is people want to become the Lord's economic development and sense gratification. A very dharma, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, engaging them in service to God, is not very popular nowadays. Therefore, people are writing so many books all about simply economic development and sense gratification. And if there's any book, it's usually about morality, teaching you, telling you that if you're going to exploit others and exploit the environment, that do it with a smile on your face. Be polite about it. That's called morality nowadays. Be a nice person and try not to exploit the people who are helping you exploit others. That's called be honor amongst thieves. As you all know, the thieves, they went to the bank, they robbed the bank, and after robbing the bank, they all came to the hideout. And the head thief stood up and said, "My dear fellow thieves, thank you very much. All glories to the thieves. You did a great job. You're great thieves. But now that we've stolen all this money, I have only one request to all of you. Please, please, I beg you, let us divide this money up honestly." Honest society means honesty among the thieves. kick God out of the consciousness of everyone, and then very nicely, honestly divide up the stolen goods. With such a mentality, it's impossible to make any progress in spiritual life. Therefore, Prabhupada gives three different major reasons: the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, would prevent one from making any spiritual progress. And they're divided up into the gross material concept of life, that there's nothing beyond matter, and therefore sense gratification is the goal of life. One with such a mentality will certainly neglect spiritual life, because they don't believe there's spiritual life. And the other is that, yes, I believe that there's a soul, that there's an afterlife, but it's something like nothing. It's something impersonal. Because after all, our whole problem here is that we're competing with each other. Constantly we're suffering from criticizing each other, trying to exploit each other. So if we go to the spiritual world, why won't we do it there too? Only it's going to be eternal. Here at least you can kill your enemy and get rid of him for a while. Although in his next life he may come back and haunt you in a different way. At least you can kill your enemies here and for a while think you're God. But if you're in the spiritual world and everyone has this spiritual body and they're all eternal, and you're exploiting each other, trying to compete with each other, then that's going to go on eternally. That's going to be a mess. With no relief whatsoever. Even if it gets too bad, you can't kill yourself. All you can do is cry. So fear of a personal spiritual identity. They think that the spiritual life will be something like this material life. They can't conceive of a life of service without simply selfish interest, because they can't conceive of what a spiritual body is actually like, that by rendering transcendental service out of love, then one is completely satisfied. And for those who are a little bit more discerning, they think that this is all nonsense. Nothing makes any sense. And therefore they think ultimately it's all zero. Yeah, these are three conceptions of life: fear of a personal spiritual identity, the conception of void which underlies a frustration life, and negligence of spiritual life. Now, these three conceptions of life prevent one from hearing anything about spiritual life, hearing properly. They put ourselves in opposition to everyone else. When the speaker who's ever speaking, we're more or less an opposed. He's going to tell us something, he's going to hurt our false ego, we're going to get back at the speaker, we're not going to listen to him, we're not going to take him seriously, he's going to tell us to surrender, but we know he's not surrendered or she's not surrendered, so why should we surrender? And if we surrender to him, then my false ego is diminished, and maybe I won't get anything back. They're telling me to do something. If I listen too carefully, I might wind up doing it. And if I do it, then he won, and I lost. Because I surrendered to him. So this is, Maya is always tricking us like this, trying to tell us, don't listen, then he's won, you lost. He's telling you to become a servant. Ultimately, he's telling you to become a servant of him or her. So if you don't listen, you're not the servant. You're the master, because you decided not to become the servant. So that keeps you in the safe position of being the master. You don't have to worry about anything. So Maya will trick us in so many ways so we don't hear. We only hear from her. We're hearing, and Maya will tell us, don't do it. If you listen too carefully, you're going to give up eating. You won't be able to eat nicely. You won't be able to sleep nicely. You won't be able to have sex life the way you like. You won't be able to defend yourself. And when I say nicely, in the way you like. Anytime, with anything, that's called Maya. Maya said, if you listen too carefully, you won't be able to eat whenever you want, whatever you want. You won't be able to go to sleep whenever you want, wherever you want. You won't be able to have sex life with anything you want, whenever you want. You won't be able to imagine yourself or defend in any way you want, etc. So modern society is encouraging people to do anything they want, whenever they want. That's why the stores are open later and later. I don't know, in Belgium. But in America, In order to survive, the stores have to be open 24 hours a day. So because people can wake up 12 o'clock at night, decide to eat or sleep or mate or defend, and it has to be available. Otherwise, what is the advancement in modern society? If I can, you know, in bed, they don't even want to go out of bed to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. They want to have a, you know, push a button. And immediately the TV comes on, or the video, or the internet comes on, and says, yes, sir, what can we do for you? How can we help you eat, sleep, mate, and defend? Say, just send the pizza over. Yes, sir, we'll be over in 20 minutes. 20 minutes? Oh, 15 minutes, I'm sure. We're rushed. I'm feeling such separation. Even one moment seems like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes. The whole world's vacant in the absence of that pizza. So that's modern society. That's the only advancement of modern society. And if they hear about there's another world beyond this world, they think it's never, never land, and only Peter Pan lives there. But here at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically by his very presence, he manifested great transcendental ecstasy, so much so that practically all of India became Krishna conscious during his presence. And he's still present. When it says that Lord Ramachandra, he delivered everyone and took them back to Ayodhya, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered everyone, he's delivering everyone through the Sankirtan movement. He's still present as much as we're remembering him in service. He manifests himself to us by our service attitude, and as much as we develop that service attitude by practical service to him, then he's present there. And when he's present there, then the whole atmosphere becomes spiritualized, and that's what attracts people to this movement, because they want eternal happiness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the very embodiment of eternal happiness. He's distributing it just by his presence, his teachings, and his absorption in remembering Radha and Krishna. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva is there, there's the whole spiritual world is there with all the pastimes, all present in intense feelings of separation. And anyone who comes in contact with that intense feeling of separation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they become just as ecstatic as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or almost. And by their presence, make others ecstatic also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here by chanting the names of the Panchatattva, serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and along with him, the whole spiritual world is there, especially Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So each one of us, we're supposed to become a Tirtha by the service of the Sankirtan movement, and that way, as much as we become a Tirtha, we make others into Tirthas too. Oh, we'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
About the symptoms of how you pay to a holy place, which is our goal,
what is it like? You go there and it doesn't seem quite like a holy place. You go there and everyone's asking you for, don't come to my place, and they show you the deity. Deities aren't nicely dressed. They're telling you to throw something into the box, or it will do some puja for you. It means that people are just absorbed in the mentality of economic development and sense gratification. That's how you know the place is sinful. Because the people are not engaging in pure devotional service, they're engaging in economic development and sense gratification. Even Vrindavan, you go nowadays, you'll find that everyone's thinking about how to make, so many of the so-called sadhus are thinking about how to make some money and how to enjoy their senses. Radha Kun, full of persons who are market of vairagis. They look very austere. They only have a loincloth, but they're just like the monkeys. That is, the monkeys are also, they have nothing. They don't have a house, they have no place to live, they're naked, they're so renounced. But they have 9 or 10 different female monkeys as consorts. So that's a symptom. Simply economic development and sense gratification. People go to Vrindavan and they congregate in Loy Bazaar in the restaurants. Yeah.
So then, they could say that the devotee purifies the holy place. Means he purifies the holy place by his preaching.
Yeah, of course. Well, also by his presence. He's thinking of Krishna, he's thinking of the disciples' succession, service to them. Then his spiritual master is there, the disciples' succession is there, Panchatattva, the six Goswamis are there, Panchatattva is there, Radha and Krishna and their associates in Vrindavan are all there. So when they're there, everything, that's how everything gets purified. Then he preaches how to help others meditate in the same way, how to engage in service and eventually come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So that's his preaching. But he, as much as he's realized that, to that extent he can preach. Anything else? Yes. No, not necessarily. I mean, people go other places and they leave their sinful activities there also. Leaving the sin, it's not like, you know, check your pocket, oh, you have a whole bunch of sinful activities. Here, keep them as a donation. No, but we're, our very activities aimed at our very mentality. Just like, if one is meditating on Krishna, then one will purify the place. If one is meditating on sense gratification, one will contaminate the place. By his activities, by the mentality, everything becomes contaminated. So it's not that the holy place is alone. Downtown Brussels, I'm sure, is not a place that, you know, more purified than the holy places. Generally, the holy places are more purified because there are a number of people who go there thinking about Krishna. So there's generally a mixture, especially in Kali Yuga. But in other places, there's no mixture, unless the devotees are doing Harinam or distributing books or doing some service in that place. People are just absorbed in thinking about sense gratification and economic development with no religiosity and no aim for liberation. Is that correct?
And also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking some dirt from the place where he was born, where he was spiritual master, to Perth.
Yeah.
So he considered the place as a holy place.
Yeah. Whatever, I don't. He considers spiritual master to be Nitya Siddha. Therefore, wherever he was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and he purified everything. Not that simply because he's my spiritual master, therefore he's holy. No, I mean, something practically becomes spiritualized because it's in contact with Krishna directly. And our mentality is what cuts us off, cuts us and other things that we come in contact with from Krishna. So we have the right mentality and Krishna manifests himself. We have the wrong mentality. To the degree that we have the right mentality, Krishna manifests himself, and to the degree we have some other mentality, Krishna doesn't. So it's continuum. But he considered his spiritual master to be uncovered, a Nitya Siddha devotee from the very beginning. Therefore everything he came in contact with from the very beginning was purified. Spiritualized. Just like if you put an iron to a fire, it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and it takes on the same quality as the fire has. So if something was always in the fire, then certainly it's going to be very hot. Yes.
To what extent living in outside the holy places could these fields count as a holy place from the item of the bodhisattva?
Same thing. Holy place is made holy by the contact of the devotees. So wherever the devotees are absorbed in service to Krishna and in factual consciousness of Krishna, the place becomes spiritualized because Krishna is there. It's holy because Krishna is there. So Krishna is everywhere. So we manifest Krishna here and then it becomes just as holy. It's a holy place. It's Krishna's pastimes are going on there. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharashi Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande.